Four Major Ties Between Impeachment Con and Russia Hoax by Aaron Klein on December 7, 2019. There are common threads, associations and even funding sources that link the narrative involving allegations at the center of the current impeachment drive to discredited claims of collusion between Russia and President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign. Many of those ties involve characters who played central roles in disseminating the infamous dossier. Below, in no particular order, are four major ties between the impeachment narrative and the Russia hoax. 1. Impeachment star witness Bill Taylor, the acting U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, worked closely with David J. Kramer, a longtime advisor to late Senator John McCain. Kramer played a central role in disseminating the anti-Trump dossier to the news media and Obama administration. Taylor for the last 9 years served as a senior advisor to the U.S.-Ukraine Business Council, UBC, which has co-hosted events with the Atlantic Council think tank and has participated in events co-hosted jointly by the Atlantic Council and Burisma, the natural gas company at the center of allegations regarding Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden. UBC events have been financially sponsored by Burisma. Another senior advisor to the UBC is David J. Kramer, the longtime McCain aide who played a key role distributing the dossier. Taylor participated in events and initiatives organized by Kramer. Kramer also held the November 2011 event at the Atlantic Council's D.C. offices for a group that he heads called Freedom House. Taylor was one of six featured speakers at Kramer's event. The Atlantic Council is sponsored by Burisma. The Atlantic Council published what it deemed a 24-point plan for ending the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. In conjunction with the plan, Kramer, in his role as director of Freedom House, organized a letter by American and European experts and former officials urging Russia to end its conflict with Ukraine. Signatories of the letter, published on the Burisma-funded Atlantic Council's website, include Taylor, Kramer and the Atlantic Council's Herbst. As late as this past March, Taylor was listed as one of 9 members of the Friends of Ukraine Network Economic Security Task Force. Another member is Kramer. When he deployed to Ukraine as Trump's ambassador in June, the UBC authored a piece in the Kiev Post welcoming him. In the UBC piece welcoming Taylor to Ukraine, Kramer himself commented about Taylor's ambassador position. "He's a great choice for now," Kramer gushed. The UBC's piece noted that the UBC has worked closely with Ambassador Taylor for many years, touting his role as the business group's senior advisor. Geisha Gonzalez is the sponsoring Atlantic Council officer listed on the congressional disclosure form for the Schiff staffer's trip to Ukraine in August. She is deputy director of the Atlantic Council's Eurasia Center. Gonzalez is also one of 11 members of the Rapid Response Team for the Ukrainian Election Task Force, which says it is working to expose foreign interference in Ukraine's democracy. Another member of the team is Kramer. Kramer revealed in testimony that he held a meeting about the anti-Trump dossier with a reporter from BuzzFeed News, who he says snapped photos of the controversial document when he left the room to go to the bathroom. That meeting was held at the McCain Institute office in Washington, Kramer stated. BuzzFeed infamously published the Christopher Steele dossier on January 10, 2017, setting off a firestorm of news media coverage about the document. The Washington Post reported last February that Kramer received the dossier directly from Fusion GPS after McCain expressed interest in it. In a deposition taken on December 13, 2017, and posted online earlier this year, Kramer revealed that he met with 2 Obama administration officials to inquire about whether the anti-Trump dossier was being taken seriously. In one case, Kramer said that he personally provided a copy of the dossier to Obama National Security Council official Celeste Wallander. In the deposition, Kramer said that McCain specifically asked him in early December 2016 to meet about the dossier with Wallander and Victoria Nuland, a senior official in John Kerry's State Department. 2. Alleged whistleblower Eric Ciaramella worked closely with anti-Trump dossier hoaxer Victoria Nuland. Eric Ciaramella, whom Real Clear Investigations suggest is the likely so-called whistleblower, was part of an Obama administration email chain celebrating the eventual signing of a $1 billion U.S. loan guarantee to Ukraine. That and other emails show Chiaramella interfaced about Ukraine with individuals who played key roles in facilitating the infamous anti-Trump dossier produced by Fusion GPS and reportedly financed by Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and the Democratic National Committee. One of those individuals, then Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs Victoria Nuland, received updates on Ukraine issues from dossier author Christopher Steele in addition to Nuland's direct role in the dossier controversy. Nuland has come under repeated fire for her various roles in the anti-Trump dossier controversy. In their book, Russian Roulette, The Inside Story of Putin's War on America and the Election of Donald Trump, authors and reporters Michael Isikoff and David Korn write that Nuland gave the green light for the FBI to first meet with Steele regarding his dossier's claims. It was at that meeting that Steele initially reported his dossier charges to the FBI, the book relates. FBI notes cite Career Justice Department official Bruce Orr as saying that Nuland was in touch with Fusion GPS co-founder and dossier producer Glenn Simpson. Senator John McCain, who infamously delivered the dossier to then-FBI Director James Comey, reportedly first dispatched Kramer to inquire with Nuland about the dossier claims. Meanwhile, looped into some other email chains with Chiaramella was then-Secretary of State John Kerry's chief of staff at the State Department, John Finer. An extensive New Yorker profile of Steele named Finer as obtaining the contents of a two-page summary of the dossier and eventually deciding to share the questionable document with Kerry. Finer reportedly received the dossier summary from Jonathan M. Weiner, the Obama State Department official who acknowledged regularly interfacing and exchanging information with Steele, according to the report. Weiner previously conceded that he shared the dossier summary with Nuland. After his name surfaced in news media reports related to probes by House Republicans into the dossier, Weiner authored a Washington Post op-ed in which he conceded that while he was working at the State Department he exchanged documents and information with Steele. Weiner further acknowledged that while at the State Department, he shared anti-Trump material with Steele passed to him by longtime Clinton confidant Sidney Blumenthal, whom Weiner described as an old friend. Weiner wrote that the material from Blumenthal, which Weiner in turn gave to Steele, originated with Cody Shearer, who is a controversial figure long tied to various Clinton scandals. In testimony last year, Nuland made statements about a meeting at the State Department in October 2016 between state officials and Steele, but said that she didn't participate. At a June 2018 hearing, Senator Richard Burr, RNC, revealed contents of the State Department's visitor logs while he was grilling Nuland. At the hearing, Burr asked, "I know you talked extensively with our staff relative to Mr. Steele. Based upon our review of the visitor logs of the State Department, Mr. Steele visited the State Department briefing officials on the dossier in October of 2016. Did you have any role in that briefing? But were you aware of that briefing?" Burr asked. "I was not aware of it until afterwards," Nuland retorted. Nuland did not explain how she can actively chose not to be part of Steele's briefing, as she claimed, yet say she was unaware of the briefing until after it occurred. Nuland was not asked about the discrepancy during the public section of the testimony, which was reviewed in full by Breitbart News. Nuland previously served as Chief of Staff to Deputy Secretary of State Strobe Talbott under Bill Clinton's administration, and then served as Deputy Director for former Soviet Union Affairs. Nuland faced confirmation questions prior to her most recent appointment as Assistant Secretary of State over her reported role in revising controversial Obama administration talking points about the 2012 Benghazi terrorist attacks. Her reported changes sought to protect Hillary Clinton's State Department from accusations that it failed to adequately secure the woefully unprotected U.S. special mission in Benghazi. A Real Clear Investigations report by investigative journalist and author Paul Sperry named Chiaramella as best fitting the description of the so-called whistleblower. Officials with direct knowledge of the proceedings say Chiaramella's name has been raised in private in impeachment depositions and during at least one House open hearing that was not part of the formal impeachment proceedings. Federal documents show Chiaramella also worked closely with Joe Biden and worked under Susan Rice, President Obama's national security adviser. He also worked with former CIA Director John Brennan, an anti-Trump advocate who has faced controversy for his role in fueling the questionable Russia collusion investigation. Rice participated in Russia collusion probe meetings and reportedly unmasked senior members of Trump's presidential campaign. 3. Common funding themes link whistleblower complaint and CrowdStrike firm. There are common threads that run through an organization repeatedly relied upon in the so-called whistleblowers complained about Trump and CrowdStrike. The outside firm utilized to conclude that Russia hacked the Democratic National Committee servers since the DNC would not allow the U.S. government to inspect the servers. One of several themes is financing tied to Google, whose Google Capital led a $100 million funding drive that financed CrowdStrike. Google Capital, which now goes by the name of CapitalG, is an arm of Alphabet Incorporated, Google's parent company. Eric Schmidt, the chairman of Alphabet, has been a staunch and active supporter of Hillary Clinton and is a longtime donor to the Democratic Party. On behalf of the DNC and Clinton's campaign, Perkins Coie also paid the controversial Fusion GPS firm to produce the infamous, largely discredited anti-Trump dossier compiled by former British spy Christopher Steele. CrowdStrike is a California-based cybersecurity technology company co-founded by Dmitry Alperovich. Alperovich is a non-resident senior fellow of the Cyber Statecraft Initiative at the BRISMA-funded Atlantic Council, which takes a hawkish approach toward Russia. The council, mentioned in number one above, in turn is financed by Google Incorporated. Another Atlantic Council funder is BRISMA, the natural gas company at the center of allegations involving the Bidens that were the subject of Trump's inquiry with Zelensky related to Biden. The Biden allegations concern significant questions about Biden's role in Ukraine policy under the Obama administration. This took place during a period when Hunter Biden received $50,000 a month from Burisma. Besides Google and Burisma funding, the council is also financed by billionaire activist George Soros's Open Society Foundations as well as the Rockefeller Brothers Fund incorporated in the U.S. State Department. Google, Soros's Open Society Foundations, the Rockefeller Fund and an agency of the State Department each also finance a self-described investigative journalism organization repeatedly referenced as a source of information in the so-called whistleblowers complaint alleging Trump was using the power of his office to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 presidential race. The charges in the July 22 report referenced in the whistleblowers document and released by the Google and Soros-funded organization, the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, ICRP, seem to be the public precursors for a lot of the so-called whistleblowers' own claims, as Breitbart News documented. One key section of the so-called whistleblowers' document claims that multiple U.S. officials told me that Mr. Giuliani had reportedly privately reached out to a variety of other Zelensky advisors, including Chief of Staff Andrei Bodin and Acting Chairman of the Security Service of Ukraine Ivan Bakunov. This was allegedly to follow up on Trump's call with Zelensky in order to discuss the cases mentioned in that call, according to the so-called whistleblower's narrative. The complainer was clearly referencing Trump's request for Ukraine to investigate the Biden corruption allegations. Even though the statement was written in first person, multiple U.S. officials told me, it contains a footnote referencing a report by the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, ICRP. That footnote reads, the so-called whistleblower's account goes on to rely upon that same ICRP report on three more occasions. It does so too. Write that Ukraine's Prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko also stated that he wished to communicate directly with Attorney General Barr on these matters. Document that Trump advisor Rudy Giuliani had spoken in late 2018 to former Prosecutor General Shokin, in a Skype call arranged by two associates of Mr. Giuliani. Bolster the charge that, I also learned from a U.S. official that associates of Mr. Giuliani were trying to make contact with the incoming Zelensky team. The so-called whistleblower then relates in another footnote, I do not know whether these associates of Mr. Giuliani were the same individuals named in the 22nd of July report by ICRP, referenced above. CrowdStrike, meanwhile, was brought up by Trump in his phone call with Zelensky. According to the transcript, Trump told Zelensky, I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike, I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server, they say Ukraine has it. In his extensive report, Special Counsel Robert S. Mueller notes that his investigative team did not obtain or examine the servers of the DNC in determining whether those servers were hacked by Russia. The DNC famously refused to allow the FBI to access its servers to verify the allegation that Russia carried out a hack during the 2016 presidential campaign. Instead, the DNC reached an arrangement with the FBI in which CrowdStrike conducted forensics on the server and shared details with the FBI. In testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee in January 2017, then-FBI Director James Comey confirmed that the FBI registered multiple requests at different levels to review the DNC's hacked servers. Ultimately, the DNC and FBI came to an agreement in which a highly respected private company, a reference to CrowdStrike, would carry out forensics on the servers and share any information that it discovered with the FBI, Comey testified. A senior law enforcement official stressed the importance of the FBI gaining direct access to the servers, a request that was denied by the DNC. The FBI repeatedly stressed to DNC officials the necessity of obtaining direct access to servers and data, only to be rebuffed until well after the initial compromise had been mitigated. The official was quoted by the news media as saying, "This left the FBI no choice but to rely upon a third party for information." These actions caused significant delays and inhibited the FBI from addressing the intrusion earlier, the official continued. The ICRP report repeatedly referenced in the so-called whistleblower's complaint, see above number 3, is actually a joint investigation by the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, ICRP, and BuzzFeed News, based on interviews and court and business records in the United States and Ukraine. BuzzFeed infamously also first published the full anti-Trump dossier alleging unsubstantiated collusion between Trump's presidential campaign and Russia. The dossier was paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign and the Democratic National Committee and was produced by the Fusion GPS opposition dirt outfit. The ICRP and BuzzFeed joint investigation resulted in both ICRP and BuzzFeed publishing similar lengthy pieces on July 22, claiming that Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani was attempting to use connections to have Ukraine investigate Trump's political rivals. The so-called whistleblower's document, however, only mentions the largely unknown ICRP and does not reference BuzzFeed, which has faced scrutiny over its reporting on the Russia collusion claims. Besides publishing the dossier, BuzzFeed also obtained the document from David Kramer, the longtime advisor to McCain mentioned in number 1 above for his ties to impeachment witness Taylor and in number 2 for also passing the dossier to Newland, an associate of alleged whistleblower Chiramella. Aaron Klein is Breitbart's Jerusalem bureau chief and senior investigative reporter. He is a New York Times best-selling author and hosts the popular weekend talk radio program, Aaron Klein Investigative Radio. Follow him on Twitter at Aaron Klein Show. Follow him on Facebook. Joshua Klein contributed research to this story.